Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We're going to be discussing Israel. We're moving this week to the topic of Israel, which is the most important subject in the world. God says in the Bible, swears in the Bible, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and makes that an eternal covenant, that those who bless the Jews and bless Israel are blessed, those who curse the Jews and curse Israel are cursed. The destiny of the world is determined by what happens in little Israel. The whole Bible centers around little Israel, because that is where the future of the entire world is determined. That is the premier issue. That is the number one issue. How the Jewish people behave and how Israel behaves decides the destiny of the world. That's the way God decided it. There may be people who don't like that, but that's what God, the creator of the world, decided to do. And so we're going to be focusing on Israel now and on the extreme danger that the Jewish state faces from a desperate Benjamin Netanyahu, the so-called Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, who faces multiple indictments on corruption charges, and who faces the prospect of going to prison and losing, of course, losing leadership of Israel. He won't be the Prime Minister of Israel anymore. He'll be a prison inmate if that happens. He is terrified, and he will do anything to stay out of prison and anything to remain Prime Minister of Israel. And that includes completely selling the Jewish people out and completely selling Israel out and endangering Israel's survival as never before, which is what he's doing. And let me just take a minute or two to explain once again what we have said many times on these programs. The phony right in Israel is worse than the left. Worse than the left. Since the 1967 war, Israel has surrendered 93% of the land that she liberated in the 1967 war. Israel's already given up 93% of the land that she won in 1967. Insanity. The remaining 7% is absolutely essential, because if Israel gives up the remaining 7% and goes back to the pre-1967 borders, Israel will be only 6 to 10 miles wide. It would be suicidal. And that's what a so-called Palestinian state would mean. There are no Palestinians. There is no Palestine. There's never been a Palestine in history. There's never been a Palestinian people. It's all a complete lie, a complete hoax. And the Arabs themselves always said there's no such thing as Palestine or Palestinians until the 1960s. But they want to create a so-called Palestinian state in order to drive Israel back to boundary lines that are indefensible and that would create a situation where Israel would be unable to survive as a tiny Jewish state in the middle of the Arab Muslim world. Because Israel is a tiny Jewish state with 6.5 million Jews surrounded by 500 million Arab and Iranian Muslims. Israel is smack in the middle of the Muslim world and surrounded by dozens of Muslim Nazi countries that dream of the day when they can drive the Jews into the sea and exterminate Israel. And so this is a struggle for the survival of Israel that we're speaking about here. And the phony right in the end makes more suicidal concessions to the Arab Nazi enemies of Israel and endangers Israel far more than the left, because the left, they want to do the concessions. They want to give up and they want to surrender, the left in Israel. But when they're in power, the majority of Israelis oppose the suicidal concessions that they propose making. Because Israelis, they panic. They say, what, are you crazy? How can you propose doing that? Do you realize what will happen? Do you realize if we're in those boundary lines, we can't defend ourselves? It's insane. What are you proposing? So they get tremendous resistance from a substantial majority of the Israeli public, and they're unable to carry out their suicidal plans when they're in power. They do a lot of damage, and they do as much damage as possible, but not as much as the phony right, because when the phony right is in power, the same exact suicidal concessions that the majority of the Israeli public would never tolerate from the left, from a left-wing government, the same suicidal concessions that they would never tolerate and that they didn't tolerate when Shimon Peres was prime minister, or when Ehud Barak was prime minister, or when Ehud Olmert was prime minister, those same concessions that endanger Israel, they will accept when Arik Sharon proposes throwing all the Jews out of Gush Katif and destroying 40 flourishing Jewish communities in Gush Katif and handing over 40 flourishing Jewish communities in all of Gaza to the Hamas Muslim Nazi terrorists. When Arik Sharon expelled the Jews from Gush Katif and committed that terrible crime and threw 10,000 Jews out of their homes and destroyed 40 flourishing, magnificent, beautiful communities, when Arik Sharon committed this act of treason, he did it. He was able to do it because he had the reputation of being a right-winger and a general, and he was a general in the war, and he's a right-winger. That's why he was able to get away with doing it. And the majority of the Israeli public went along and supported him when he did it. A left-wing government could never have done what Sharon did in Gush Katif. A left-wing government could never have surrendered the entire Sinai to Egypt. The vast Sinai, which is three times the size of the rest of the state of Israel. The vast Sinai was surrendered to Egypt in exchange for a worthless piece of paper. A so-called treaty, which is just a worthless piece of paper, by Menachem Begin and the Likud party. The left could never, a left-wing government could not have gotten away with doing this. And there are many other examples. And so the phony right is more dangerous and more capable of making suicidal concessions than the open left. And I say the open left because the phony right really is also left-wing. They really are left-wing, and also they just use right-wing rhetoric to cover their left-wing policies. They also support the policies of the left. Just as most Republicans are really Democrats in disguise, are really also left-wing. They're part of the establishment. The establishment of the United States are also complete phonies and sellouts. Now, having said that, Netanyahu now is proposing, he's so desperate, he needs 61 Knesset members to survive, to remain prime minister. There are 120 members of the Knesset. The Knesset is the Israeli parliament. There are 120 members of the Knesset. He needs 61, a majority of 61, to stay in power. And he can't put that 61 majority together with what's going on now, with the way the polls show things moving now. Majority of Israelis just don't want to support him and are supporting other parties that are against him. So to get that 61 vote majority, he has now turned to the so-called United List Party. The United List Party are the Arab Muslim Nazis. And why do I call them Nazis? These are members of the Knesset who have praised the terrorist mass murderers of Hezbollah and Hamas and Fatah, who have openly called for the extermination of the entire Jewish people and for pushing the Jews into the sea, finishing Hitler's job, carrying out another Holocaust. And these Arab Muslim Nazi Knesset members have supported these terrorist organizations. They have openly called for the destruction of Israel. They made it clear that they're against the existence of a Jewish state. They'll do anything they can to undermine Israel's existence. And they have a part. They're allowed to be in the Knesset, by the way. Our beloved Rabbi, Harab Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo. Our beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana was barred and banned from running for the Knesset because he told the truth. He was the only honest politician in Israel's history. And because of that, he was barred and banned from running for the Knesset and then murdered by Al-Qaeda. But the same Israeli Knesset and the same Israeli politicians and the same Israeli Supreme Court that banned and barred our beloved Rabbi Kahana allow Arab Knesset members who are terrorists, who support terrorism, who support mass murder and genocide against the Jewish people, they're allowed to sit in the Knesset. I'm not allowed to set foot in Israel. I'm not even allowed to set foot in Israel because I fought to free our brothers and sisters behind the Iron Curtain to free the Soviet Jews. I'm not allowed to set foot in Israel, but Arab terrorists who support the destruction of Israel, like Ahmed Tibi, who worked together with the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat, murdering thousands of Jews. Ahmed Tibi was one of Arafat's top aides. He sits in the Knesset, and no one dares ban him. No one bars him from running ever. So this nightmare situation that we have, it's bad enough they're allowed to sit in the Knesset, and they have 11 or 12 Knesset members. I don't remember if it's 11 or 12, but they have 11 or 12 Knesset members out of the 120 members of the Knesset now, are Arab Muslim Nazi members of this party, the United List Party. Now Netanyahu is inviting them to join his coalition government so that he'll get the 61 votes he needs to have a majority government. He's inviting the Arab Muslim Nazis to join his coalition government and promising them, I'm going to give you much more assistance, I'm going to help the Arabs in Israel much more, give them much more money and much more assistance so that they'll stay in Israel and have more babies and endanger Israel demographically. I will do everything you want, I'll make whatever concessions, I'll do anything you want. And you know, he meets with the Arabs and he says to them, look, I've given you more than the left-wing governments. What prime minister has given you as much as I have? And he's telling, that's the one time when he's telling the truth. Netanyahu lies on every issue, every front, always lying. He's a pathological liar. But when he says to the Arabs, I've done more for you than any other prime minister in Israel's history, on that he's telling the truth. Netanyahu gives them billions of dollars from Israeli taxpayers. Most of the Arabs are unhappy in Israel. They want to leave Israel because they're a minority in Israel and they don't want to live in a Jewish state. Most of them would like to leave. Numerous polls have shown that they want to go. And instead of encouraging them to leave and even offering them compensation to leave, which is what our beloved leader Rabbi Kahana would have done, and he would have gotten them all out. Instead of doing that, Netanyahu gives them billions and billions of dollars in aid to make them more comfortable and make them stay and to attract other Arabs from the rest of the Arab world to come into Israel, to flood into Israel legally and illegally, so that we'll have even more Arabs and they'll grow at a faster rate. This is what Netanyahu has done as prime minister. He has increased Netanyahu and Naftali Bennett from the Yamina party, another phony right party, the Likud and the Yamina party, the two big phony right parties running here. Those two, Naftali Bennett and Netanyahu, have drastically increased payouts from Jewish taxpayers in Israel to Arab Muslim Nazis. Billions and billions of dollars being paid out to them. And the Hamas terrorists now control Gaza. And the Fatah terrorists control large parts of Judea and Samaria. Israel withdrew from those areas of the land of Israel. It was a criminal act, but they did it. And Netanyahu gives all of those areas, Gaza, Judea, Samaria, where the Arabs are in control, he gives them free electricity, free water, free food, free medical supplies, free education, free housing, gives them everything for free, paid for by the Jewish taxpayers. Despite all of that, they're so backward, so primitive, so lazy, so murderous, they're so busy murdering each other and fighting with each other and cutting each other's throats and so corrupt, that they're still living. They still live in horrible conditions, despite the fact they get massive assistance from Israeli Jewish taxpayers. Netanyahu has increased that assistance. If Netanyahu would just stop giving them assistance, they'd be starving. They would all leave. They would leave. Then Israel would be able to liberate the land of Israel without any resistance, would be able to have all of this land that rightfully belongs to the Jewish people. But no, Netanyahu spends money to keep them in Israel, to keep them comfortable, gives them much more money than the left-wing governments ever gave them. Much more. And he promises to drastically increase these subsidies. He promises to increase all of these benefits that are going to them. You think a Jewish town or Jews would get free electricity, free water, free food, free medical supplies, free education, free housing? Are you kidding me? Israeli Jews pay higher taxes than Americans pay. Well, then Europeans pay. And part of it is to fund these Arab Muslims, millions of Arab Muslims. And Netanyahu not only has given them much more, he promises to give them yet more, far more, if they'll just join his government, and he will do. That's a promise he will keep. When Netanyahu promises things to the Jews, he never keeps his word, always breaks his word. When he promises things to our enemies, he always keeps his word. That's when he keeps his promises. He's so evil. He is such filth, this Netanyahu. Such a filthy, lowlife, evil person. Immoral, evil, atheist, lowlife. Who would sell his mother just to stay prime minister for another second. And you know, Netanyahu, he's been prime minister now. He was prime minister for 3 years in the 1990s, and now he's been prime minister since 2009, but going into the 12th year. So it's almost 15 years he's been prime minister, almost 15 years. 15 years with the same leader, the same prime minister. America, by the way, never had a president for that long. a period of time. And it's just crazy. Even Roosevelt, who was elected to four terms, thankfully died in his fourth term. Couldn't complete his fourth term. But Netanyahu's been prime minister for nearly 15 years. And during that time, he always freezes all Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem. He freezes Jewish building in the critical areas where we have to move as many Jews as possible in order to prevent the creation of a so-called Palestinian state. Because creating a so-called Palestinian, an independent so-called Palestinian state in the land of Israel is national suicide for Israel. There is no Palestine. There are no Palestinians. There has never been a Palestine or a Palestinian people in history. Never. The Arabs themselves always said there's no such thing as Palestine or Palestinians. Until the 1960s, they always said there's no such thing. And even statements from them, statements far more recent from them, where they've admitted that there's no such thing, and we're just using this as a pretext to destroy Israel. There's no such thing as Palestine or Palestinians. It's a complete hoax. But they want to create a so-called Palestinian state to get Israel to go back to the pre-1967 borders that are 6 to 9 miles wide. The so-called Trump peace plan would be complete suicide for Israel. Arab Muslim Nazis would be right next to Israel's airport. And every Arab Muslim Nazi would be able to fire Katusha rockets and shoulder fire rockets at every plane going on. I mean, the airport would be paralyzed. The whole country would be paralyzed. Everything that's happening in Gaza, the towns and cities around Gaza, are thousands of rockets and thousands of missiles are being fired into towns in all of southern Israel. This would happen at Israel's airport if the Trump so-called peace plan went through. This would happen everywhere. They want to give the Arab Muslim Nazis control of land throughout even the tiny amount of land that Israel still has. They want this to be surrendered, and Israel would be completely indefensible in this situation. Completely indefensible. And Netanyahu, the only way to prevent this nightmare from happening is if you move a lot of Jews into these areas, so many Jews into these areas that they can't surrender the land because there are too many Jews living there already. That's the only way to stop it. And Netanyahu has prevented that. He, for 12 years, actually for the 15 years he's been prime minister, he has imposed building freezes on Jews. If you're Jewish, you can't build anything there. They destroy, you build a porch, they come and destroy it. You build a house, they come and destroy it. And he has imposed building freezes on the Jews there. He won't let the Jews build. Many, many Jews want to move to Judea and Samaria. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful there, and it's much more affordable. And the Jews who live there are really high quality, much nicer, high quality, more religious, more moral people. There's a lot of demand for housing there. But he will not allow them to build. He has a building freeze imposed on them. But the Arabs in Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem, he allows them to go on a building spree, building illegally. Not only building legally, he allows them to build, which he doesn't allow for the Jews. And then illegally, he allows tens of thousands of buildings and structures and homes to be built by the Arabs. Tens of thousands, illegally, all over the place, and doesn't touch them. And one of the things Netanyahu has promised the United, this Arab party that he wants to join his coalition, and he's openly saying, by the way, he wants them to join the coalition, openly meeting with them, something which the left never did, by the way. The left never did it. The left would never meet with Arab parties and say, come and join with us. The left was afraid to do it because they'd be called traitors, and they'd say, oh, you see, you're on the side of the Arabs. They wouldn't do it. But the phony right can get away with it. You see the danger of the phony right? Netanyahu was legitimizing those who want to destroy Israel. And what Netanyahu has done is he's promising now this Arab party, you join me, I'm going to let you build anywhere you want. I'm going to help you build. We're going to build for you huge amounts of housing. We're not going to touch any of your illegal buildings that you have all over the place and let you build illegally everywhere. I will instruct the police not to touch anything you build. And the Jews will be frozen, and their building, you know, their communities will dry up because we'll freeze all of their communities and freeze all of their buildings. So their communities will dry up, and you know, then, in effect, I mean, he's letting them basically take over the country when he does that. And that is literally what Netanyahu is promising to the Arab party to join his coalition. That's what he's promising them. And Naftali Bennett from the Amina party, who is the other phony right, another phony right candidate running with another phony right party, Naftali Bennett, he said, 99.9% of the Arabs in Israel are loyal citizens of Israel. 99.9% of the Arabs are loyal citizens of Israel. Even though 96% of them vote for Arab parties that call for the destruction of Israel. And polls show that 97-98% of them support the terrorist organizations. But Netanyahu, but Bennett insists that 99.9% of them are loyal citizens of Israel. I mean, just such a disgusting liar and fraud and evil monster. So this is the phony right in Israel. This is what we want to try to stop. And Netanyahu has a good chance of getting reelected because Israel's vaccination program has been so successful. The Israelis, when there's an emergency and they decide to do something, when they finally decide to do something, they can do it right. I mean, we saw the Jews invented the cures for the coronavirus, and in Israel by far is the leading country in terms of vaccinations per population. Over 2 million vaccinations have taken place already. In tiny little Israel, they're getting it all done. They're moving everything, getting it all done. The great United States, the great superpower United States, can't get it done. And this is partly because we have an orange clown in the White House who has completely abandoned the American people and abandoned everybody, abandoned the coronavirus campaign. He does nothing on this. He doesn't give a damn. He hasn't done since the election. He's completely ignored this because he only cares about himself. He has done nothing. And so tens of thousands of people are dying unnecessarily in the United States because of Donald Trump, because he does not do anything about the coronavirus. He's done nothing. And you're going to see when Joe Biden takes over, Joe Biden has already proposed in order to get these vaccinations out to people, because nothing's happening. Trump had no federal plan and didn't even bother with it. He didn't even bother with the vaccinations. He doesn't care about it. He's so busy worrying about his own personal situation that he doesn't care what happens to the American people. Never did care about anybody but himself. He's a corrupt, immoral beast, and he never cared about anybody but himself. Now Joe Biden is going to come in, and Joe Biden is going, he's already said he's going to have the National Guard set up centers to distribute the vaccines. He has a plan. He's putting in all the plans that Trump should have put in. And so you're going to see a massive increase in vaccinations under Joe Biden. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to make Republicans and conservatives look terrible, because people are going to remember how Trump, in the last 2 months of his presidency, abandoned the whole vaccination effort and did nothing, and no one was getting vaccinated, and it was a complete farce what was going on. They're going to remember how he promised in the campaign that 20 million people would be inoculated by the end of 2020, and instead only 3 million were inoculated by the end of 2020. They're going to remember all this. And believe me, the media and the people who control the education establishment and the Democrats will remind the American people of this over and over and over again, and it makes Republicans and conservatives look terrible. This is why we warned you that Trump will discredit the conservative movement and discredit Republicans in the end. This is why we warned you to support Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz would have handled it very effectively. Ted Cruz was a very effective leader. Now they're attacking him, of course, for opposing the Electoral College certification. But he, the way he wanted to do it, was intelligent. Ted Cruz, I mean, they're just smearing him. But Ted Cruz, he didn't say that because of fraud the election was stolen. He never said that because he knows that's absurd. He knows that's completely, you can't prove it. You can't prove it because it never happened. It's nonsense. There are irregularities and there's fraud in every election. But no way did Trump win an election where Biden is ahead by more than 7 million votes. There's no way. Trump did not win this election. It's nonsense. And Ted Cruz knows that. But he still wanted to investigate whatever fraud did take place, even if it wasn't enough to change the results of the election. He wanted a commission to investigate election fraud and election irregularities. That's all he was calling for. He said he wanted to challenge the electors until a commission could be, a 10-day commission could be formed, bipartisan commission of outside experts, to study and analyze irregularities and fraud in the election. That's all he was asking for. And that was something that most Americans, if you took a poll, most Americans would say, a commission to investigate if there was election fraud or if there were election irregularities. Most Americans would go along with that because it sounds reasonable and it is reasonable. What Trump was saying, that you should Trump called up the Secretary of State in Georgia and said, find me the votes. In other words, change the votes. Change people's votes. Change the voting like a dictator and like the Soviet Union. In other words, the things Trump was proposing to do were not only undemocratic, but illegal, blatantly illegal, and something that the American people never go along with. Again, you're going to see, you see the phony right, when the phony right takes over, they discredit conservatism and they discredit republicanism, and in Israel they discredit the right wing movement in Israel, and they discredit right wing Zionism when the phony right takes over in Israel. So this is the danger that we have here. This is the danger that we have here. I mean, again, those of you who are Trumpsters, I don't know how you're going to be happy when Biden gets in and we see a massive increase in the number of people getting vaccinated, and we suddenly see things happening that we finally the United States is taking action to defeat the virus. That's not going to make Republicans look bad. That's not going to make them look bad. It's going to make them look terrible, because Trump didn't do anything. He did nothing. He's done nothing. He's still doing nothing. All right, now, another thing that Netanyahu has done. These treaties that he and Trump put together, terrible, horrible treaties with these Nazi countries, Nazi terrorist supporting countries, United Arab Emirates, Dubai, Morocco, who, by the way, in their media continue to praise the Holocaust, continue to call for the destruction of Israel, continue to preach hatred of Jews in Israel, and not just Jews in Israel, all non-Muslims. They preach hatred of all non-Muslims. And in their mosques, which are funded by the regimes there, they preach hatred of all non-Muslims. And they spread this and subsidize this all over the world, this type of Islamic hatred. And Israel signs treaties with them. And the Jews are so desperate to go there and be tourists and do business with them. And that, just insane. It's horrible lack of Jewish self-respect and honor. And it's a chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name. Terrible. And God warns us over and over again in the Bible not to have britot, not to have covenants with these evil nations in the Middle East that surround Israel. He warns Israel not to do that, not to have covenants with the Philistines, with the Plishtim. With the Plishtim are the Philistines in Hebrew, or with Mitzrayim, with Egypt. Over and over, this is something the prophets warn over and over again. Avraham Avinu, Abraham our father, was tested with the Akedah, with Akedat Yitzchak, where he was told he has to sacrifice his son. This was a test that he was put through as a punishment. If you read Chazal, if you read the rabbis, you'll know all of this. You'd know what the Bible really means. This was a punishment because right before this test, which the Bible itself calls a Nisayona test, right before the test of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak, and where he was told he has to sacrifice his own son, and of course, in the end, God prevented it from happening, but still it was a very, very traumatic test. Right before then, what did Avraham Avinu do? He signs a covenant. He has a covenant and makes sacrifices and makes a covenant with the local residents of the land of Israel of those days. And God punished him for that. You are not supposed to make covenants with the local residents of the land of Israel. The local evil residents of the land of Israel have got to go. It's a holy land. And the Jews have got to get the Muslim Nazis that want to destroy Israel out. You don't make covenants with them. You don't make agreements with them. You don't sign treaties. And what's happening is they're being legitimized now in the eyes of the Israeli public because of Netanyahu and the agreements that Netanyahu and Trump have signed. They're legitimizing Arabs in the eyes of Israeli Jews. So Israeli Jews are thinking the Arabs are not really that bad. The Arabs who all these years call for our destruction can't really be that bad, which is very bad for Israel that the Jews are thinking that. The Jews should be on guard and understand the danger we face. And instead, they're being put to sleep by these agreements. And on top of that, even worse, because of these agreements, these rich Persian Gulf Arab countries are now allowed to come into Israel and buy up the Israeli economy. They could take control of Israel from within. They could buy up the whole Israeli economy. They already bought up 50% of Beitar, which is Israel's Beitar Yerushalayim is Israel's most prized soccer team. Israelis are soccer fanatics, and they've already bought up 50% of Beitar Yerushalayim. And they want to buy up Israeli companies, Israeli technology. I mean, this is insane. This is very dangerous and insane. They want to buy up the whole harbor, Israel's whole strategic harbor in Haifa, in Haifa in English, in Haifa in Hebrew. This is a catastrophe for Israel. These greedy, self-hating Jewish traitors, like Netanyahu, who's another greedy, corrupt, self-hating Jew, and he, together with the Jewish billionaires who are funding him, they want to sell the whole country to the Arabs. And piecemeal, they're doing it. And so Netanyahu has got to go. Now, his replacement would be terrible too. All the people, Gideon Sa'ar is the main guy that's being talked about as replacing him if Netanyahu doesn't get the majority and his opponents get a majority of Knesset seats in the next election. It depends who gets a majority of Knesset seats. That's how you form the next government. Whoever wins a majority of Knesset seats. If Gideon Sa'ar does it and he becomes prime minister, he'll be a terrible prime minister. He's also an appeaser. He's also a self-hating Jew. He's terrible. Terrible. But he, with his left wing, he came from the Likud originally and he claims to be more right wing than Netanyahu. All phony. But most of his people in his government would be from left parties, from the left parties. And so there'd be a lot of resistance to him if he tries to make the same concessions that Netanyahu is making. There'd be more resistance to him. So, again, he can be very dangerous. There's no question it's taking a chance. But Netanyahu, we know, is terrible. We know Netanyahu is terrible. Gideon Sa'ar will also be terrible. But we don't have anything to lose. Netanyahu must go. Netanyahu and Bennett, those two, they must go. Because what they're doing is terrible. Again, we're not going to get the Mashiach, we're not going to get the Messiah replacing them. We're not going to get someone like Rabbi Kahana who would have saved Israel. We're not going to get a great leader like him replacing them. We're going to get another terrible leader. But we've got to end this horrific dynasty. I mean, Netanyahu, Bennett, the Likud dynasty, it has to come to an end. We have to have change. And so even though the other side is also bad, we've got to replace Netanyahu. He's got to go. He's got to go. And so what is JTF doing? JTF has an advertising campaign. We have an aggressive advertising campaign. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000 or 7,000 people every single day, Israeli Jewish Jews every single day, are seeing our videos because of our advertising campaign. Between 4,000 and 7,000 a day now because we've stepped up the advertising campaign. And these are videos that tell you in a more condensed way, because they're commercials basically, so they're 60 seconds, 120 seconds, 1 or 2 minute commercials. They tell the Israeli voters basically what I'm saying, but the Israeli voters are already familiar with some of the material, and they basically remind Israeli voters who did Gush Katif, who did the expulsion from Gush Katif. It was the Likud, it was the phony right. Who did the retreat from Sinai? The phony right. Who did the Y agreements, where Israel gave up 13% of Judea and Samaria and 97% of Hebron, the city of our forefathers? Benjamin Netanyahu and the Likud, they're the ones who did this. Netanyahu gave up 97% of Hebron, the second holiest city in the world after Yerushalayim, after Jerusalem. We remind the Israeli public of who has led Israel down the path of suicidal concessions over the years. It's Netanyahu who has done these terrible things. It's Netanyahu who has allowed hundreds of thousands of African Muslim illegal aliens to come flooding into Israel and taking over all of South Tel Aviv and many other cities. Netanyahu has allowed this to happen. If not for the surrender of the Sinai, it's through the Sinai. They came through the Sinai, all of these illegal aliens. If Israel had control of the vast Sinai and the Suez Canal and everything, they couldn't have made it. The illegal aliens could not have gotten in. They would not. They would have had to go across the vast Red Sea or the Suez Canal, and the Israeli soldiers would have been there guarding, because it would have been a boundary line there between there and Egypt. They wouldn't have been able to get in. And then they'd have to go across the vast Sinai. They couldn't have done it. The only way they were able to do it is because Egypt facilitated them, let them go through Egypt and into the Sinai. Egypt, which Israel has a so-called peace treaty with, and Egypt has undermined Israel every day since they signed that treaty. Egypt encouraged hundreds of thousands of African Muslims to go into Israel through the Sinai and flood into Israel. And that's exactly what happened. It's thanks to the surrender of the Sinai. Because of the surrender of the Sinai, Israel has hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from black Muslim Africa causing crime and raping and murdering and doing all the other wonderful things that Schwarzes do. And so this is what happens when you have the phony right in power. They've got to go. They've got to go. Now, is JTF going to convince people? Is JTF going to change the results of the Israeli election? That we would actually change the results of the Israeli election, probably the odds are against us. I mean, we got a big uphill fight. The odds are against us being able to do that. But if we could just, if it's really close, let's say it's 60 seats to 60 seats. This block, the Likud block, has 60 seats. The other block has 60 seats. Let's say it's really close, 61 to 59 or 50, whatever. Something really 62 to 58. It's really close to the number of seats on each side. Because again, the number of seats each side wins will determine who forms the next government. If it's really close and we move one or two Knesset seats away from Netanyahu and away from the Likud and away from Yamina, if we could just convince Israeli voters, enough voters to swing one or two out of the 120 seats away from the Likud bloc onto the other side, or just not get them not to vote, that could mean the difference. It's possible. It's theoretically possible. Maybe that the JTF will have very little effect because the election won't be that close. I don't know. I don't know what will happen. I don't know what will happen. But we're trying. And at least the people of Israel, we may not succeed. I don't know. We may not succeed. But what we're doing, no matter what happens in the election, what we're doing is so important because we're bringing truth to the people of Israel. Someone is telling, well, everything I've told you on this program this week is the truth about what's happening in Israel, that no one says what I'm saying. No one says what I'm saying. Since the murder of our beloved Rabbi Kahana, nobody speaks like this, including this. You even have phony Kahanists in Israel. You have people who call themselves Kahanists who are not Kahanists, who support Netanyahu. They're not Kahanists. They're opportunists. Even they don't tell the truth. Itamar Ben-Gavir, these guys, they don't tell the truth to the people of Israel. And so, we are telling the truth. We are loyal and faithful to the message of our great leader, Rabbi Kahana, and we are telling the truth. And we're bringing this truthful message to the people of Israel. That's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do. And that's important. That somewhere, someone is telling the truth. That somewhere, someone is giving a message of truth and reality and rational, logical, Jewish thinking, Torah thinking to the people of Israel. That's important. That's important. I don't know what the results are going to be. I don't know if it's going to have any impact or not. I have no idea. Ani lo navi vi ani lo ben navi, which means I'm not a prophet and I'm not the son of a prophet, so I can't tell you what's going to happen in the election. I can make predictions based on what I see from the polls or what I see from the mood of the public. I make predictions, but my predictions may be right and they may be wrong. Who knows? But I do know that someone has to tell the truth, and we are the only ones really doing that on a substantial scale right now. We're the only ones doing that. You have some voices of truth in Israel, like Meir Ettinger, who is the grandson of Rabbi Kahana, and Noam Federman, who is a great Jewish, a very heroic Jewish figure in Israel. And you have the Hilltop Youth in Israel, Noar HaGevaot, the Hilltop Youth. They are voices of truth, and they are wonderful Jewish heroes. You do have some truthful people in Israel, some wonderful truthful people in Israel. But none of them have put together a campaign like the campaign JTF has. None of them are reaching beyond their little circle. Not because they don't want to, but because they just... We've been able to get the resources together to do this. And so we're doing it. And so we're doing it. And we're doing the best we can. And please pray for the success of our campaign and pray for the future of Israel. Pray for the peace of Israel. Those that love thee shall prosper, it says in Tehillim, in the Psalms. And prosper doesn't only mean financially. It means, in other words, your lives will be better in every way if you pray for Israel and pray for the Jewish people and really care about the Jewish people and fight for Israel and the Jewish people. That's what we're trying to do. We're doing the best we can. We're fighting the good fight. They banned me and won't let me into Israel. But from here I'm going to give them headaches and make sure, and I'm going to make sure from here that the people of Israel hear some truth. I don't know if we'll succeed or how much we'll succeed, but we're going to try. We're going to do everything we can. because we are loyal to the land of Israel, the people of Israel, the Torah of Israel, and the God of Israel. We love the God of Israel. We love the land of Israel. We love the Torah. And we love God's people, the Jewish people. And so we are going to continue this fight. And may Hashem help us. May Hashem help us to achieve great things. And may Hashem protect His people. In the end, the good guys are going to win. Maybe not in this campaign, maybe not in the immediate future. We may have terrible things, God forbid, happen in the immediate future. I don't know. But in the end, really, be'acharit hayamin, in the end of days, all the Nevi'im promise, all the prophets promise, that there will be an awakening of the Jewish people in the end, and there will be a final redemption. And the good guys are going to win, and the bad guys are going down, way down. And the good guys are going to win and have eternal paradise. That will happen. Someday that will happen. In the meantime, because this is a dark period, and again, as we've mentioned on this program many times, it was predicted that this period would be a dark period before the end of days. This was all predicted, and we were all told that this is what it would be like. But still, even in the dark period, we've got to light a candle, because a candle in the darkness, from a great distance, you can see even a little candle from the darkness lights can provide a lot of light. And we've got to provide as much light as we can during this time, and do everything we can, the best we can, and hopefully Hashem will have mercy on His people, and will have mercy on the righteous, and will bring redemption to Israel, the Jews, and the righteous Gentiles. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim ben Pesach. Shalom.